Yo ho ho, Merry Christmas. I've got a present for you in a minute. What did you get me?
Back all.
Well, a yo-ho-ho and a Merry Christmas for episode number 53 of the Promoter Mouths podcast. Hello, Pablo.
Hello, Kai. It's our birthday.
Yeah.
And the pod is 53.
Yes.
As I am.
Oh.
I was 53 this week in between the last pod and this pod.
That's beautiful.
It's a symmetry, isn't it?
Symmetry.
Is it a coincidence?
It is a coincidence.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Had you been born because we were going to have this moment and your parents conceived you, that wouldn't be a coincidence then. But it just seems to have happened, Pablo.
I don't think they had anything like that on their minds. In fact, they didn't have the prospect of me on their minds at the time. I know that for a fact.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Happy accident.
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And the best thing that happened to them.
Well, Let's put happy as a loose term, shall we?
Let's put shotgun as a definite one.
Yes. Here we are. It's the birthday anniversary episode, Pablo. As it is the anniversary episode, I'm going to give you a gift, and I'd like you to get it. It's just behind that card over there.
Oh, I haven't opened anything yet. This is exciting. It's got little angels on it. Little ethnic angels.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm diverse, Pablo. If this year has taught me anything, if it has taught me anything, it's to be more diverse.
It's like that one of your comedy nights.
Is there a female angel on there?
Yeah.
Is there a male angel? Is there a female angel with a cock?
Cause no, that, that's just, what, that's just what lady
people,
angels.
That's what people want nowadays.
Oh, wicked. Oh, it's a book.
I made a book for Pablo called 1252, and it is all of the graphics from all of the pods.
That is brilliant, mate. That is fantastic.
It's a thing of beauty.
Oh, mate. I'm touched. Oh, mate, that's very thoughtful. I feel such a wanker because, obviously, I haven't got your fuck all. But
good, I like that. I like giving people gifts that haven't got me one because then I think, yeah, have that, you bastard.
Brilliant, mate. Thank you very much.
Isn't that neat? No worries, man.
What have you been up to since the last episode?
My son's here from Japan.
Yes.
You saw him earlier.
Yes.
I went to pick him up from the airport last Thursday and it took me 6.5 hours to get back from London. I'll tell you what, I've never been in a journey that just drove me so nuts. I was driving for 2 hours, looked up, and I'd got no further from the airport. It was still there, right behind me. On the M25, it was like bumper to bumper, and we ended up just finding another route. And it took, you know, I didn't care. I said, I don't care if it takes another 4 hours to get back. Let's do it. And everybody was going that way. So even the routes that we thought we could do. And so that was shit. 10 hours there. So it was like, drive there, get out. He'd just arrived, get in the car. Drive back, 10 hours in the car.
It's nice, though. I mean, look, it's not nice you got stuck, but it's a nice thing to do, and it picked your son up after 18 months.
And yeah.
And your mother-in-law.
But I just felt so bad for them because they just had a massive flight, 14, 15 hours of travelling, and then thinking, oh, we'll be home, there'll be, you know, people to welcome us and go to bed and whatever. Fuck that.
Sit in the car for 6.5 hours.
Yeah, sit in the car listening to me swearing. 6 hours. We've got no fucking further. That was one of, what is going on? And but fair play to him. Japan has obviously turned him into a Zen brother because he is calm and, you know, he's like, it doesn't matter, we'll get there. And I'm like, yes, son, we will. I have no choice. But it's times like that you want your daughter or your wife there to at least do some of the donkey work, you know.
Was it dark as well?
It was, and I hate driving in the dark.
It's tiring.
And it was wet. It was horrible. That was that. And then on Sunday, I went to London with Senna again, and we went to the Comedy Store to see the Players. I've not seen the Players ever before. Have you ever seen the Famous Players?
It's all sort of ad-libbing.
Yeah.
I used to be a big thing on Channel 4, didn't it, in the 90s?
Yeah, Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah, all of that.
So they sort of came from that, didn't they?
Tony Slattery and all of that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and Greg Proops.
Yes.
Remember him.
But Josie Lawrence.
Oh, yeah,
as well. But this wasn't any of those. But
they always seemed a little bit too pleased with themselves, for my liking.
It is a very smug pastime, isn't it, improv? Yeah. It's really clever.
It is clever.
Absolutely brilliant and funny. You know, yeah. It was genuinely funny. I didn't think it was my thing, but even my boy thought it was good.
Well, I'll tell you what I've been up to, Kai. It was my birthday on Sunday. I was 53, as I said, just like this episode. And Mrs. Pablo took me to a spa. It was a bit of an experience. They had this room, right? It was round, and it had light curtains going round inside it. A little bit like I've seen the same curtains at Beckles Crematorium. So they've obviously gone for, like, relaxing sort of dealy. But on the ceiling, there was an oval-shaped screen with sort of leaves going round and birds flying. So what they've done is they've simulated outside. So the idea was you sit back, relax, listen to these sort of relaxing noises, then look outside, except it's not outside, it's actually a screen. I thought of you because you're not keen on
that's
the outside.
That's perfect. It's like the outside, but inside.
Yeah, that's your bag, isn't it?
And it's on a screen.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
But bear in mind, this is in Thetford Forest, where the outside's really that good.
Actually, they could have just put a window, couldn't they?
Yeah, exactly. But what they did, they speeded up day and night. So if you stayed in there for about 5 minutes, you got to see day and night.
And what was the overall feeling? Was it one of relaxation?
Bewilderment.
Or were you annoyed by something?
The whole thing was, I was a bit bewildered by it. You got there and somebody handed you a robe and then just said, yeah, there you go, just walk about. And Mrs. Pablo said to me, Do you think it feels a bit culty? I said, a bit culty? Have we just signed up for the fucking Moonies? What do you got? All these different little rooms where there's like saunas or steam rooms and different
incense
smells.
And things, yeah.
Yeah. And you're going from one to the next. And then they want you. There's a bit where you could pick up a load of ice and sort of rub it all over yourself. I'm not doing that. They must be taking the piss with that.
No, the people like that. I went to one in Bath, which was all just steam rooms of different flavours.
Yeah.
That was shit, really. You've put Howdy Partner.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's been a busy week, mate. I've done loads of things this week. I've hardly stopped. But last week I was in Tunbridge Wells and I stayed in a themed hotel. And this was called the Smith and Western. And you go to check in and there's a bloke in a Stetson. And he actually says to you, Howdy Partner, like that. But he's from Tunbridge Wells. And I'm like, oh, hello, mate. Yeah, just come to check in. I'm like, sure. Yeah, whatever. And it's the weird old dude.
Can I ask a question at this point?
You can, yeah.
Because I have come across themed hotels before.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you, can you hire them by the hour?
No.
Okay.
No. You're thinking it was one of these kinky places.
Well, in Japan, they've got them. There are streets and just vast expanses with all these hotels where teenagers, because they can't kind of do the naughty at home.
Yeah, they hide their places by
the hour. They go and have a short afternoon in these themed love hotels, they're called.
No, I was there with a work colleague.
Hello.
Yeah, he was in a different room.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was all right.
I thought they'd maybe try to get that thing going in England.
With your breakfast, they gave you a hoof wipe.
Oh, no.
Literally, you know, like
wipe your hoofs.
Yeah, it was a wet wipe in a packet that said hoof wipe.
Oh no, they've thought it through.
And in my room, I had a bedside lamp in the shape of a cowboy boot. It was proper themed. It was really consistent, like you know, everywhere you went. There was like posters of Billy the Kid and all these other ones that I didn't know existed, but like cowboys. There was about eight of them, and I tell you who I did see the week before. Did I tell you about Two Tills Tony?
No, tell me about Two Tills Tony.
I don't know if that's what his real name was, but bloody hell! At the services in Colchester, this guy, man, he was immense. He was fucking immense. So if you're travelling northbound from going through Colchester, right opposite the football ground, and you go off to the garage there, yeah. Yeah, there's one of them with those Wild Bean cafes in and all of that. And there was a guy there who was really sort of having it. There was three tills. He was straddling two tills. And he'd worked out that the longest amount of time taken when somebody's been dealt with is for the person to faff around getting the card out and then putting it away, you know, the rest of it. So he'd be hopping from one, go, over here, mate, over here. And he'd be hopping from one to the other. And sometimes, the person was still there by the time he got back.
Was he on his own?
Well, there was a Doris next to him on the one till, taking forever over everyone. But he was absolutely knocking it out of the park.
Do you know what? I've got a theory now that you've said this.
Yeah.
Can I run it by you?
Yeah, go on.
Two tills Tony deals with the rotor. Two tills Tony's getting paid for two people.
It's possible. I tell you what,
he's doing two shifts.
He fucking deserves
in
it.
One.
Because like when you want to get served and he's there to like looking at your watch and tapping your feet. Two tills Tony was fucking killing it.
Two rival comedy promoters happen to live in the same sleepy town in Norfolk. Rather than be at each other's throats competing for territory like crap Colombian cartel leaders, they have joined together with the aim of banging on about UK comedy scene through the lens of also living in an idyllic English market town.
Double speed?
Yeah.
Oh.
Are
you streamlining?
I think whip things along a little bit. Because you've been saying there are bits of the pod where people drop off because you've been looking at the stats.
Mate, the stats have... When I get it, I'm like a dog with a toy rag.
You got under the bonnet of it. So people go, oh, I've heard this bit again and not again. So we're going to play double speed.
Okay.
And, yeah.
This is an interesting point. Maybe you will agree if I say it out loud, but looking at the stats, looking at where the dropout is, it goes like 10% down and then 10% up about 5 minutes later or whatever. So people are fast forwarding and some people are jumping through and they're playing a little bit and then skipping and playing a little bit. So it goes down 10%, up 10%, down 10%, 5%, whatever, all the way along. Some big gaps as well, so where people are fast forwarding to things like parking like a twat, or they'll skip through the old Seagull news and things like that. As soon as it comes on, it drops, and then it comes back up again just after. It's really interesting.
Interesting, but to say this week, if that's your game, well, we're fucking you over this week because we've changed the order.
Yeah, yeah. If you are somebody of a nervous disposition who is rattled by change, stop listening for a moment.
Don't
stop listening for a moment. What's coming up, Pablo?
Yeah, in Hellfire and Damnation, amongst other things, I'll be talking about my visit to a Wetherspoons where there was a crap Asian bouncer.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have Praise Be.
Yeah, well, I'll be talking about flocks of Canada geese, or will I?
Oh, have you seen them, have you? Oh, yeah. It's that time of year. Comedy rumours, /
Shithousery.
Might have a word about some open spots and how they apply for gigs. Yeah, how about that?
Pro comedy gigs page can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, I might not talk about that. Then we've got opinion whores.
What are we going to debate this week,
Kai? Well, on opinion whores, Pablo, I put university fees. Is it worth it? Parking like a twat in Loddon and Chedgrave. I'm going to talk about a new pistro. Tell you what that's about later.
Right.
Yeah, that'll do.
Hellfire and Damnation. In this section, we outline a scenario where each one of us has been wronged or where we think someone or something should be thrown into the pits of hell.
I've put people who post on social media announcing that they have had enough of social media and won't be using it anymore.
Yeah, why don't you like this?
Well, you can just tell the people that matter, or you can tell the whole world. And then I can guarantee that person is coming back to check how many people have responded to that. So it's
like the funeral you can attend, isn't it?
It is.
It's a flounce. I genuinely think, though, some people are getting a little bit mentally bothered by social media.
I will add, though, that people that do have had quite a presence, I don't mind that, right? It's the people on the little local Facebook groups who say, I've had enough of this. Yeah. I've had enough of all this arguing, all this bickering. And yeah. it's all rubbish. All you talk about is dog shit and bins. Yeah. And I've had enough of it. I'm going.
There was a Facebook page. It was dedicated to flounces. Right, so people would screenshot the flounces and post it on there. That was a good group. Ironically, I left it.
But they do come back. Did you announce you're leaving?
No, I didn't.
You should. I'm going. All it is screenshots of people flouncing.
Yeah.
So yes, I'd like to put that in Hellfire. People who do that.
Do the flounce. I think that people struggle with social media sometimes, but they're conflicted. They also like the company and the instant sort of recognition that they get from posting shit.
I think you just have to use it differently. You don't have to leave. I think you just have to kind of think of it differently.
Yeah.
You've put Opera House Spoons and Crap Asian Bouncer.
So I was in Tunbridge Wells, and in Tunbridge Wells there's a Wetherspoons. Like I think it's called the Opera House. And it is a thing of beauty to look at.
You sent me a picture, yes.
It is beautiful. It's absolutely stunning.
Is it an opera house?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It's an opera house, and I was sat on the stage, but you can go up and look down. They've just got the whole seating looking down at the stage, and there's a bar down there.
I can guarantee you thought, gig.
Oh, at first I did think that, yeah, without a doubt.
Must be condemned, though, I'd imagine.
No. They opened up as a Wetherspoons, and they had some festival, and they actually did a couple of operas there, whilst it was a Wetherspoons.
Yeah, I love the idea that they've bought it and keeping it up together, but what a waste of a beautiful theatre.
Well, it might have been condemned without them buying it, who knows?
Yeah.
But here's the thing, right? It was crowded when we went in, myself and a work colleague. It was crowded, and all of a sudden the place just emptied. I don't know where everyone went. I couldn't work out. And we were sat there sort of nursing a couple of drinks. We got a couple of drinks in. And there was this bouncer kept walking up and down past us. And I don't know, it's just maybe because we're out in the arse end of nowhere here in Norfolk, you don't normally see bouncers from India or Pakistan, and there's this young guy who was. But he was just, he could not keep still, and there was only two tables occupied in the bit he was in. And he was patrolling up and down, he was just pacing up and down. He was properly wired, and I thought, put me on edge, this guy, properly put me on edge. And he could tell that he wanted to talk, right?
To you?
To anybody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And he caught me eye and he went, all right, yeah, yeah. Oh, hello, hello. And I'd had about 3 pints of bitter. So I thought, well, he wants to chat. And my work colleagues like sort of looking away thinking, oh, Jesus. Yeah, he could tell straight away he was a bit of a live wire.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it wasn't much to him, this guy. And I said to him, have you done much bouncing then? he says, what? He said, you get much trouble in here? Because bear in mind, this is Royal Tunbridge Wells. But there were bouncers everywhere. And I go, it didn't seem quite right. And then he got this diatribe about, yes, there are people in here, the youngsters, they come in, they need throwing out, they'll go and do drugs and they'll do this and do the other. Looked around, there's about four people in there, right? And it just seemed a bit odd. And then he was saying, yeah, this generation is lost, man. It's completely lost. I thought, it's a bit much, isn't it? It's a bit much. Then he started telling me the drinking habits of, like, different groups of people. Like, he looked about 20. And I thought, like, I'm 53, mate. I've watched people drink, like, for the best part, like, well, almost definitely beyond his age, you know what I mean? And anyway, he was a bit of a bell-end. He meant well, but he just put me on edge. And I thought, what is the point?
Maybe it's a tactic.
I don't know. Okay,
if he kicks off, I'm fucked, he thought. I better go and make friends with him. He's not going to hit me if I make friends with him.
There was nobody in there kicking off, honestly.
Yeah. Maybe it was a preventative measure. So I went to a comedy club in London.
Oh, yeah.
And was with my son and walked across the road to approach the door of this comedy club. And there was a very large bouncer standing in the doorway, and rather than step aside and let me in, he stood staring really menacingly at me, not saying anything, even though I smiled and said, all right. And he was just staring at me intensely, to the, which point I just sort of shrugged and made a face like,
what do you want?
The problem? Can I come in? And he carried on staring for a bit. And I have no idea what he was doing.
He just asserted himself.
It was a weird one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, he's double my size and more, and he's filled the doorway, but he was just looking at me like I'd done something wrong. And all I'd done was approach the door to go into this comedy club. I thought, that's not a particularly good way to start my evening.
Well, you need to be making your customers feel welcome, which was part of my beef with the bouncer in Tunbridge Wells. You're not making people feel welcome. And this guy, do you know what?
I wasn't being dodgy. I was just approaching the door, but it was, I thought he was not going to let me in or whatever, but he did in the end. We were on the guest list anyway, and it didn't seem to matter that I said, we were on the thing. I'm a guest of so-and-so. Yeah. No, not even a blink. Don't need that at a comedy club, do you?
No, the experience should start at the door. You know, you don't want to be spooked out by somebody giving you
bloody
evil.
And he just wouldn't step aside to let me in. He was just stood filling the doorway. Yeah. So I thought, I'm glad he's let me in now because I was about to take him down.
Let's put shit bouncers in the bin.
Shit bouncers go in the bin.
The Promoter Mouths Podcast with Kai
Hopper. It's our anniversary episode. Yeah. All the way from Australia, Brian Damage and Crystal, they sent us a birthday
You did, Brian message. And Crystal. Thank you so much.
I love them.
I was sat on my desk job. Kai sent it over and I put my headphones on and I was pissing myself solid.
And we'll play a bit of that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Right now.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Promoter Mouths. Happy birthday to you. For he's a jolly good podcaster. He's a jolly good podcaster. He's a jolly good podcast. Hey, so say, that was me harmonising on my own.
That's correct. You know, I can see what they've done there. They've done there? They've done Motor Mouths.
Yeah.
But it's Promoter Mouths.
That's clever, is that what? Do you know, I never got that.
Oh, I've been listening to
that all year.
Yeah.
All year. And I got all the gossip and shit later on.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know, if I was doing that podcast, we live in a small community here, don't we?
We do, yeah.
In Australia.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say half the things they say about the locals in
Norfolk.
That place where you can't park.
Yeah.
Loddon. Loddon and the other one. I can never remember the other one. It's probably because it's not a very memorable...
Chidwick or Chedburn.
Chedburn.
Somewhere like that. You know what, though?
What?
I think it's their first anniversary.
You started thinking
It's their first anniversary, right?
Yeah.
But they waited to start the podcast until we went to the other side of the world.
Pretty much.
Is
on
that
the same
a coincidence,
as
do you
soon
think?
As we, I reckon.
I think they wanted to slag us off and they wanted us as far away as possible.
And they thought
so they could
we were going to go to Australia and we wouldn't even notice.
Yeah.
We wouldn't even notice.
You can get podcasts in Australia, you know.
Yeah. It's comedy shithouse stuff. That's what it is.
I'm not as dedicated a listener as you are.
No.
I'm a very busy woman.
Manchester United supporter.
Yeah.
Every single podcast. I can't remember any
of
them.
Got a season ticket.
But I've heard all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's enough of those blathering on. Because, I mean, otherwise the podcast will go on for 3 hours.
Yeah, that's it. We were going to have 2 or 3 attempts at this, but I think there's enough here. He can just chop it up because he's got all this techie stuff.
I did
give him a bit of advice. I said, you know, because he's put it on there. It's got fucking proper music, proper backing music, and all high tech. And I said, you know, you want to roughen it up a bit, like our podcast.
Put one of our songs on.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's it. Yeah,
yeah. Should we sing one of our songs?
Yeah, should we do one?
Yeah, go on then.
Which one? I don't know any of them. Which one do you reckon we should see?
Well the rare Patagonian tooth fish is slightly sort of about Australia, isn't it?
All right. Sort of. Okay. I'm sad and I'm blue, I don't know what to do. I'm a rare Patagonian toothfish. How can I get a kiss when I'm looking like this? I'm a rare Patagonian toothfish. A man on a ship with a hook in my lip. I'm a rare Patagonian toothfish. I'm stuck in the net, people seem to forget. I'm a rare Patagonian toothfish. I'm a rare Patagonian toothfish. I live on my own in the sea. Sad Patagonian toothfish. There must be somebody for me. A hot Patagonian toothfish. I'm looking to get me a wife. There's nobody there. We're so fucking rare. It could take me the rest of my life. I'm a rare Patagonian toothfish. I live on my own in the sea. A hot Patagonian toothfish. There must be somebody for me. A hot Patagonian toothfish. I really don't know what to do. If I had a wish, you'd be a fish and I'd make a meal out of you. You look a bit scrawny, but God, I'm so horny, I think I might settle for you.
Brilliant, wasn't it?
Fantastic.
Thank you, Brian and Crystal. We love you. We miss you. And we hope you come over soon because there are gigs waiting if you do come. And there'll be cash in hand.
Hey.
I mean, that's not all of it. We've got more, which we're going to put a little bit on later on where there's a song I've not heard before. And I'll put the whole thing with even more bits on the Patreon page.
I sort of envisaged him sat there in one of those wooden patios on a deck chair with a hat with corks on it.
Yes.
Drinking a can of 4X, swatting the flies away.
Yeah, I can't imagine he hasn't put a hat with corks on.
No, I bet he's walking around in that, isn't he?
He turned up at Arrivals with one.
Yeah.
A can of Foster's in one hand.
Yeah. No, when you're coming back, Brian and Crystal, give us a bit of a heads up, because if it's on, you know, a date that I've got something on. I'm not as prolific as Kai is, but I'd love to have you on.
He's sitting there going, I ain't fucking coming back. You've put flocks of Canada geese.
Well, let me tell you, have you ever looked up in the sky and seen a flock of Canada geese and just thought, that is a thing of beauty? I could marvel at that all day.
Yes.
And it just sends shivers down your spine and you think, that is beautiful.
I sometimes wake up and it's usually like October time, late October, and you hear it in the distance and it's so loud and you know they're coming and you just stand by the window to look up, get your camera ready, and they come through in hundreds and hundreds when they properly go off. Little V shape.
Yeah.
And then there's always one straggling behind. You think, catch up, mate. Yeah. Go on, catch up.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Right?
Mate.
I'm talking about is very much like flocks of Canada geese, and it put me in mind of that. Because it's nearly Christmas, I've noticed the pissed up blokes on the works do who would not normally be out drinking together. And they're all walking around the city, like with silly Christmas hats on and stupid jumpers, pretending to be mates. They're not mates. It's the one night of the year they have to pretend to be mates. And you can sort of see them fighting for hierarchy and the alpha trying to get to the front. And you see them every year, and I just think it's a thing of beauty.
And the one they're trying to lose is kind of bringing up the rear.
Yeah,
where are we going next?
Yeah,
following on.
Yeah, and the young lad who they send for tartan paint and all of that.
Yeah. Right, sugar and spice next, lads.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope I've got my ID.
Yeah, but there's a few of them, and every year I see it, and it's like, yeah, they're just so awkward, you know.
You are right. I used to have working with Christmas parties quite a bit. And yeah, It's exactly that. You know, they are a lot of fragments that have all come together. Yeah. And then there's a boss there and they're all trying to suck up to the boss.
Yeah, exactly.
And the boss usually leaves early because he's had enough and leaves the carnage behind.
But if you see him early evening, about 6 o'clock, it's full of sort of expectation. They're walking very quickly. And laughing at the boss jokes. Boss is never fucking funny, right? But they're laughing at the boss jokes because he's going to get a few rounds in and maybe he's going to take him for a curry or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah, and they're all out and about now, aren't they?
They're all out and about. So, yeah, enjoyed what...
It's super...
all this week, and do enjoy watching them.
Isn't it Friday? It's this Friday, isn't it? Tomorrow, in fact. That'll be the big one for a lot of people today and tomorrow.
A lot of people, yeah.
Wow. Stay away from pubs during the afternoon tomorrow.
God, you wouldn't be working in accident emergency on a Friday night before Christmas, would you?
Yeah, right.
Jesus.
Yeah, if it falls on, because this Christmas is a good one, isn't it? Because it's like next week. Yeah. But flocks of Canada geese. You brought me in then, Pablo.
I did,
you reeled me in with nature.
Yeah.
And then.
Still a thing of beauty, though.
It is. And can I say, we've put.
Yes.
Martin Westgate's open house for Sense of Humour.
Yeah, yeah.
His new venture.
He's a rival comedy promoter. And he had an open house in one of his venues in Norwich, brought a load of acts that are local. Yeah, we went along, had a beer, shook hands.
It was a lovely gesture for Martin because it brings, the acts will come together. You might see each other occasionally through the year, but having them all in the room was really nice. And I knew quite a few of them. It was a familiar place and lots of familiar faces. So, well done to Martin Westgate.
A nice one, Martin.
Support Kai and Pablo by becoming a Patreon subscriber at patreon.com/promotermouths.
Without banging on about it too long, Kai, we'll just say we took a break there to talk to our Patreons and we discussed that pressing topic of why are orange-flavoured things always nicer than actual oranges. And we somehow managed to pad that out over about half an hour.
Pad it out, mate. I think we somehow managed to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And when it turns out, mint follows the same path. But anyway, look, we've done all of this.
But, okay, let's have a little quiz.
Go on.
Okay, have a little quiz. How many flavours of, without Googling it, I might start a podcast called Don't Google It, where you ask people questions, ask your listeners questions. How many flavours of Kit Kat are there in Japan?
500.
No. You're very forgetful, Pablo. We've only just been talking about it. This one's for the listeners. If you want to know, go over to Patreon. Don't Google it. Yeah, that's good. That was good, wasn't it? How many flavours? It will astound you. How many flavours there are.
Anyway, look, you don't have to be a patron if you don't want to. It'd be nice if you did. But tell you what would really help. If you would subscribe, press the little notification bell, and share. Yeah, anyway, that's it. And write a review, a positive one.
It's now time for Comedy Rumours / shithousery.
You put
open spots, applying for gigs, and... I've got a form on my website and they fill in their details and there's a little bit for a bio.
Yeah.
And it just asks for a link to the video so you can just click on it and go there. Yep. Open spots that say, look up my name for a video. No, mate. Give me a link.
Yeah, give me a link.
I'm not looking you up.
As a general rule of thumb, if you're an open spot, the less work you give a promoter makes it a lot better for you, and keep that throughout your career. Because if you've got a website, on your website, do a bio, give us something that we can copy and paste. Then there's more chance of it actually making a press copy.
And then we put it onto the ticket site, and people read about you, and they're looking to buy tickets for gigs. Yeah. It's good promotion for you.
So there's a couple of things that comedians, especially open spots, comedians tend to get better at as they get along, but not all of them. So one is the bio. So if you'd write something that was a little bit more helpful, that would be good. The other thing is photographs. So photographs, if you can get a really good headshot and a really good sort of full shot, and the background, keep it as plain as possible. Because in my limited experience of Photoshop and fucking about with it, the less messy the background is, the better.
There is a lot of software now that does just delete it with a click.
The less the better. You're good at that software. Not everybody is. So you know, you just want it to be as easy as possible. My pet hate is like the top of the head would be sliced off.
Oh, yes.
What are you going to do with that? You're going to take that out and put it on the poster and you've got like a flat head.
And another one is the side of the arm, because if you want them to just stand there, the side of the arm is square. It's outside of the shot. Mm. Yeah, just have a simple shot with space around and let us do what we can with it, maybe.
Back to the videos.
Yes.
Yes. Don't be all maverick and send me a fucking clip to Vimeo, right? Then I got somebody saying, all right, if you want this one, oh, you got to go to Dropbox. No, don't fuck about with that. Stick it on YouTube.
Wow.
No Vimeo.
Whoa, whoa.
And honestly, if you want me to see it, a wasp on about
it's
videos.
It's Christmas, Pablo.
I need to be able to hear it. So if it's done on your phone and the audio is absolutely bobbins, it's. I'm just going to listen to about 3 seconds of it. It needs to be clear audio.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think when you're on an open spot, having a video, if you haven't got one, I'd say you're not quite ready yet to pitch for gigs all over the place. I would say there might be a few that will do it on a promise, but if you are branching out beyond the one or two or beyond the promoter who's given you one or two gigs, yeah, get them to film it. Get another gig done and film it. Everyone's got phones. And acts will hold a phone for you while you're on stage. That's what they do. They're very helpful at that. Just get it, because we can't do it blind.
The other pet hate of mine with these videos, and I've been touching on this before, if you're filming a gig where it's just other open spots, fair enough, right? But sometimes you can tell that it's just a gig with other open spots purely because of the cadence of the laughter or when it comes in. It's just a sort of contrived, supportive laughter. And you can spot it a mile off. And you're thinking, it's hard to get past that to enjoy the actual set.
Don't stand behind the phone that's filming, laughing.
Yeah, if your mate's laughing, they're there filming, to make it sound like everyone's laughing. It's not. It's and you can't get past it. But they are the things that we have to sort of wade through. Tough love.
And we've got another message, Pablo, from one of our very fine comedian friends. Listen to this.
Well, happy birthday, you're 1 year old. Congratulations on your podcast, of which I've listened to parts of many, but never a whole one. I'm saving them up. Happy birthday. Keep up the good work, boys. Oh, it's a podcast, so there's no need for the video part. God, what a tool.
Yay, it was the very funny Tony Law who stood in for you when you were on your honeymoon. Thank you, Tony.
Parking like a twat in Loddon and Shedgrave, in brackets, the local bit.
Aha, parking like a twat, you found it.
Yes. Welcome to Parking Like a Twat in Loddon and Shedgrave.
Yes, for those of you've just joined us, we've had a brilliant pod.
So, for the listeners, what happens? We found out, we probably said this earlier in the pod, I don't know if Kai might have cut it out, but Kai knows that there are some local listeners who only listen to this bit, so we thought we'd move it about.
So, yes, they do that, Pablo, they do. They fast forward.
Yeah.
And you can even see where they stop to check what they're listening to, and then they fast forward. And it goes forward in like the 30 on the Apple one, it's 30 second increments where you just go click.
Oh,
click,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
And you, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
30 seconds, 30 seconds, back 15. And you can see it goes there, up, nah. Tiny little peaks all the way.
I don't know you can do this.
Yeah. So I've put Pistro.
Is that a shit bistro?
It's a whimsical play on words, Pablo.
A portmanteau?
Yes, it's Pistro, not Bistro, because I've discovered what they're going to turn the old toilet block in the car park in Loddon. They're turning it into a bistro coffee bar.
Oh, okay.
It used to be a shit house, and I thought, I'd like to open a cafe there, and I'd call it the Log Cabin, because it used to be a council shit house.
People did poos there.
Yeah. I'll have the Yule log, please, at Christmas. We'd have it all themed. I had it all thought out.
I do that. I crack that same dad joke every Christmas morning.
What, you've laid a Yule log?
No, I'm just off to do me Christmas log.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Very nice. Yeah. Captain's log. Yeah, so they're turning in a shit house into that the council sold into a cafe.
That'd be all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could do more cafes.
I mean, it's, well...
Will it do a full English?
Might do. Yeah, so that's that. That's the news. News on the street. Pistro. Shall we move on?
Yeah, we applaud all the new businesses that start up anywhere, not just in our little idyllic market town. But fair play.
You've put street food on Norwich Market.
Have you been to Norwich Market street food bit?
Yeah, there is some good ones.
Yeah, I've forgotten how good it is. It really is good. I used to go to Deb's when I was at college, when I was doing my construction course about 15 years ago. We used to go there every time we'd got college. But, like, now, there's all sorts there.
It's not just fried crap, is it?
No, you can get Thai food, curries, fish and chips, falafels.
Yep, keep going. This is my favourite bit when you like to list things.
Yeah, well, I'm not good. I've got a shit memory.
No, well, that was very good. There were four things there.
Churros.
Okay, what about for the vegans?
Vegan food.
Your vegan Thai, vegan churros.
Yeah. I think they've got a vegan Chinese as well.
Have they?
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't work. They like
I tell you what, have you been to
making me hungry now, Pablo.
Yeah, no, there's a vegan Chinese called the Loving Hut in Norwich. Have you been to it?
No.
Have I mentioned it on here before? It's run by an actual cult. But the food is really good, right? Go to the Loving Hut. Do you know the back entrance to Castle Mall, right? Castle Quarter, as it is now, like where you go up, what's the name of it? I can't remember the name of the street, but it's the back entrance.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you go to this place called the Loving Hut, and there's Chinese people in there, but they've got an old portable cathode ray tube telly, right? And they put videos in, and there's a lady that's called the Supreme Leader giving lectures, right?
Really?
Yeah, giving lectures.
Is it not just a themed restaurant?
It's a cult, Kai. It's a cult. And this lady, she's opened up loads of these in different cities around the world, and she gives lectures on how to be vegan and how to follow her about and do what she says. And there's little pamphlets and shit in there.
Wow.
Right, but I tell you what, they don't give it the hard sell. They just have, like, pamphlets and her lecturing on the TV screen, which is a bit wacky, but the food is fucking great.
Okay.
Yeah, so you give them, like, £4 or £5 or whatever. They give you a tray, and then you pile out the noodles and you pile out the rice, you pile out the tofu things and the curry sauce and all of that. It's nice. Oh, you've got to try it, mate.
I didn't have you down for a vegan tryout.
It's just a really nice Chinese.
Oh, go with that.
Yeah.
The Loving Hut.
The Loving Hut in Norwich. Yeah, give that a go, mate.
Get converted.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know.
Do you think they're just trying to convert people to veganism as a concept?
It's got a bit of a cult about it. There's something not right. Go and have a look and report back.
I lived with a vegan once. And my lasting memory is that...
And they're very weak and miserable.
Shall we move on?
Let's do it.
We've got opinion whores. You've put... No. This is 4-minute recorded interviews, mate, for universities. My daughter's got a university interview.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, you've got an interview... We're going to send, and there'll be a link, then you click on it, and they'll be asking you questions for 4 minutes, and you've got to answer them, and they'll record it, and that's your interview.
For university?
Yeah.
The rest of your life depends upon this bullshit.
You used to have to go and sort of have a little day out, and you have a look around, and they'd see whether you're suitable. Nope. She's got a 4-minute recorded interview, and they time it, and you've got to answer the questions, and that's it. And
which university is this?
Surrey.
Is it any good?
Yeah, it's a nice one.
So what are they going to filter people out from these and then interview afterwards?
No idea. No, I don't think so. I think that's, as far as I'm aware, that's a university interview.
That's not good enough. That's a flawed system.
I'd like to think they will do what you've just said and invite her. But is it worth it, though? You know, I know university's not for everyone. But a lot of kids do it. I used to teach a lot, but 40, they're coming out with 40 grand of loans. And it's like, is it worth it?
But if you don't earn it, they don't pay it.
No, well, that's what this... But it's a bit of a... If you then come out of university and spend the next 30, 40 years not earning the minimum...
You don't pay it.
Then you don't pay it, but it's not much to live off, really.
Yeah, no, but the theory is... That's, I mean, look, if you go to university to do something that earns money...
I mean, I'm not discouraging her from going, but there is a reality that, you know, don't expect to be getting getting a mortgage for a while. For example, if you want that.
I can see the logic in it. I mean, the logic is, if you've gone to university, on average, you're going to be a higher earner than somebody who hasn't been at university. So you would pay tax, more tax.
Yeah.
But arguably, you'd pay more tax anyway if you got a better job.
They're going to be rinsing you there. They're going to be taking $9,000 a year plus, you know, all the other bits off of her.
Yeah.
The least they could do is meet her. It just seems like a really...
It does, yeah.
I can see it's easier.
My opinion on the four-minute interview, that's bollocks. University loans, bit harsh, you can see the logic. And I worry that it puts the poorer people off actually getting an education.
Yeah.
So my advice to anybody who's going to do it and you haven't got loads of money and you're going to spend all that time paying the loans off, it's something that struck me really late in life. If you can be good at most things, try and be good at something that makes a bit more money.
On that subject of interviews, mate, you do interviews, don't you?
I did an interview.
Do you interview people?
Oh, like what, for jobs and that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done, yeah.
Do you ask those five... trying behavioural questions.
I had to look. We haven't really been trained to do interviews, right?
What's your favourite question to ask?
We try and avoid the obvious, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? 5 years' time.
What's your biggest weakness?
Well, yeah, what's your biggest weakness? And, you know, you've got to prepare for that if you're going for a job.
Yeah.
And they say, don't say, my biggest weakness is that I haven't got any faults.
Ooh. Yeah, like, that's a proper apprentice answer, isn't it?
Because everyone's under the table doing a wanker sign, aren't you? Yeah. I mean, you ask task-based questions, don't you? So if they haven't supposedly done the job before that they're applying for, you'll say, oh, what do you find hard about the job? And they'll say, can you give us an example? And then you'll say, if such and such a thing happened, how would you deal with it?
Yeah.
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 So then you get an idea, because you get bullshitters, don't you?
Can you give me an example of a time when? That's one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly that.
And usually you can... I've been into interviews where they've asked that sort of question. Can you give me an example of a time when? And if you read between the lines, you know that they've probably had that problem in the company or in the business.
Yeah, exactly. And somebody'd handled it in a catastrophic way. Yeah. So they want to make sure
that... Hence you're sat there having an interview.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's move on to... plugging our gigs, Pablo. I'm going to take the short approach this month. I've got too many gigs now, Pablo. Too many venues.
Spit them off.
Yeah, I've got venues in Chedgrave, Beccles, Wingfield, Harleston and Wisbeach, and And if you want to know what's going on there, and there are some lovely gigs every month going up, go to shaftofwit.com and you can see details.
You've crept up with quite the empire there, haven't you?
It is lovely, but it's all along one road. I know I say I don't like going far to work.
Is it the A140?
it goes all. If you have a look on a map,
it's all
in a very kind of confined space. It's quite a circuit.
You plotted it on a map. I literally plotted Woodbridge on a map. I wanted somewhere equidistant, a 45-minute drive south of Southwold Art Centre, and I went, I wonder if there's anything in Woodbridge.
Yeah,
I had a look and there was. And it's my best venue,
it's
now.
It's beauty, really good. So that's that. I've got all sorts coming up. Arthur Smith, Pat Monahan, Marcus Birdman. There's some great names. Just go and have a look. Shaftofwit.com.
Fantastic. I'll go into slightly more detail because some of these tickets are running out. So 8th of March, Southwold Arts Centre, where Gary Delaney headlines. And we've got Glenn Wool and an act yet to be announced. And Darius Davis emceeing. there's only a handful of tickets left, and the gig where I double up with the same lineup has already sold out. So that's the Woodbridge is sold out. That's 8th of March. You can go on a waiting list if you go on the website. 5th of April, we have Sean Walsh headlining, Sol Bernstein, Gavin Webster, both playing Southwold Arts Centre and Seckford Theatre in Woodbridge, and the MCs are Ben Valdeveld and Karen Bailey.
Great gigs, mate.
Thank you, mate.
Really good.
Yeah. Hopefully some exciting news about another one soon, which I told you off mic before.
Oh, yes.
An actual A-lister.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. And you gave me the idea.
Man's in town.
Yeah.
Yeah, play that.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I know it's been put to him, so I don't want to talk.
It would be lovely.
It would be lovely. It would be fantastic. If you can come along and help me, that would be great.
So, well, Pablo, that brings us to the end of episode 53. Not just episode 53.
It's our anniversary episode.
It's the beginning of a new chapter again. Let's finish off with a little bit more from our amazing birthday message from Down Under with Brian and Crystal.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Promoter Mouth Podcast. Oh, happy birthday to you. A year old today, a year old today. Never been a year old before, I never will be.
Anymore.
Oh, that's a
right. Yeah. So, have a lovely celebration. Open a bottle of fizz or something. I don't know if you both drink, but anyway. Yeah.
And say hello to Pablo.
Yeah. And a happy birthday from Dan Ander.
Dan, oh, fuck yeah. I'm a Bondi bastard. I live on Bondi Beach. Sometimes I get so blasted I lose my powers.
I can't even talk.
Speech. I've always been a yobbo. I wrote the flaming book. But when the pomps go nuts on Bondi Beach, things are fucking crook.
Now the sand on Bondi Beach is white,
but the pomps are 10 times wider.
They like to think they're pretty bright.
Fucking jellyfish are brighter.
When you're full of amber nectar,
yeah, and I get full of the most,
bloody palm creeps up behind just like you've seen a fucking ghost.
Oh, Christmas time on Bondi, I reckon it's a bloody disgrace. All that shouting and fighting and swearing and shit lowers the tone of the fucking place. Christmas time on Bondi, it'll drive a bloke insane. When the pomps go nuts on Bondi Beach, it's Christmas time again. That's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't want any other verse.
No.
All right.
Now, my mate Stevie Irwin,
crikey,
he was a good old bloke. He couldn't pass a sleeping crocodile without fucking giving it a poke.
Sharks and spakes.
Sharks and spikes and spiders.
Sharks and snakes and spiders.
Yeah.
He was the one to trust.
Yeah. Well, when the pond's going nuts on Bondi Beach, you wouldn't see his ass for dust. Not as stupid as he looked, was he? No. Oh, I'm worn out.
Right.
It's hard work pretending to be Australian.
Right.
Oh.
Let's draw this one to a close. Pablo, it's been a pleasure. It's the start of a new chapter.
Yes.
Yay.
Onwards and upwards.
Are we going to do a compilation one day?
We ought to, but that sounds like a lot of work.
We need one in the... listening and remembering. All right. So let's wind it down. And thanks, mate.
Cheers, Kai.
Pleasure. Enjoy your book.
Thank you, mate. Enjoy your forthcoming present that I'll definitely remember to get.
Yeah.
Support Kai and Pablo by becoming a Patreon subscriber at patreon.com/promotermouths.